One of the things that the China, there's all this talk about how China is going through a financial collapse. Well, they're going through a reorganization. And what are they doing? They're cracking down on speculators. They're putting the speculators who put people's savings into real estate boondoggles, they're putting those speculators in prison. In the United States, we threw people out of their houses and let the speculators take over their houses cheap and bailed them out with $27 trillion in 2008 to 2011, and another $20 trillion from 2019 to 2021. So we, the US government, benefited the swindlers, the speculators, at the expense of productive Americans. So, this is where you have to look at the two systems and say, there's some things we could learn from China because China learned from us, in particular, investing in new entrepreneurial practices in science and technology, writing off old infrastructure, old industry, and investing in new
They are
and
doing that
producing
for
new
sure.
wealth.
They are
And we
doing
don't do
that.
that anymore.
They're doing that big time. But okay, so they are, this is the concern though, is with that structure, not that our structure isn't completely broken right now, right? We've just defined that. We are not anything near what we think we want to be or what our constitution is formed. Now, looking at them, we get concerned, when you see the censorship, for example, where they're just, I just got kicked off LinkedIn last week because they accused me of selling, and I don't sell anything, I advertise selling illegal products, but they won't even tell me what product is illegal or where I did it. Right? It's like so absurd. It's just so extremely unethical, right? So we have
Well,
these
and this,
bullies.
but Sarah, you know this because you are a fighter against the censorship. We have censorship in the United States that's off the charts. This is what Snowden was warning us about. This is what Bill Binney was warning us about. The big tech monopolies worked as a cartel with the mainstream media to control information, to control a narrative. Now, how is that different from the old days with TASS and Pravda in the Soviet Union?
It's the same. Exactly. Are you ready to take control of your health in today's toxic world? Look no further. Masterpiece is here, setting the gold standard for holistic detoxification. Masterpiece, the natural master binder, features nanosized zeolites combined with a marine plasma nutrition. And here's the groundbreaking news. In initial trial results, users have experienced an astonishing 70% removal of toxins after just 60 days of use. Say goodbye to forever chemicals and heavy metals. Masterpiece is a game changer, efficiently capturing graphene oxide, arsenic, mercury, and over 85 other heavy metals. Not to mention, it tackles forever chemicals like microplastics and PFAS, a group of over 4,700 man-made chemicals lurking in everyday products. Users are reporting incredible benefits: more energy, heightened mental clarity, and better sleep. One user happily exclaimed, "The mental fog is just gone." And the best part, Masterpiece is affordable. For just $52.99, you get a 2-month supply that can transform your life. Visit sarahwessel.com under shop or click the link below to grab yours today. Don't keep this breakthrough to yourself. Spread the word to family and friends. Masterpiece is not just a product, it's a life changer. Act fast and get yours today at sarahwessel.com or with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Harley Schlanger coming back to the program. We're going to dive into we're going to dive into it, but we're diving into big picture stuff. And what is really going on? Why are they trying to destroy the Western governments? How does that tie into BRICS? How does that tie into the World Economic Forum? How does that tie into, the central bankers' meetings and the carbon, how they're actually taking carbons, turning them in tokens, and we didn't talk that much about that. I am right now, but they're taking carbon, turning it into a monetary system, essentially, with the pretense of it being a war on climate change. He just calls it the green energy plan or agenda, which is what he's talking about. When he says green energy agenda, he's talking about this whole carbon credit nightmare that they're trying to put in place, which is a big scam. It does not make sense. They are using climate change to create this whole currency and to manipulate governments and change industries the way they want. Yes, there is some truth as far as there's pollution and we need to be stewards of our environment, but not what they're saying. And that's where the problem is. You always use some truth to implement your agenda for something that's completely disconnected to what this truth is. That's what they do. But I want to tie these wars into what really is the big picture going on and the BRICS. And people are confused. They're confused over China. They're confused over Ukraine. They're confused over why we have this LGBTQ agenda. And I keep revisiting this as facts come into play and we can understand because the world's complex when it comes to all these people. There isn't just one agenda. People are divided. People are fighting. People are always trying to gain power. It's not like there's this one thing. People want to simplify it to just one thing. It's not as simple as just one thing. There's many factors and dynamics going on. And if as soon as we simplify it to just one thing, we're going to lose because we don't understand it. We do need to be united and simplified. We're not united at all. We need to be united in the sense of growing the strength of our country and caring about ourselves. We're divided on all sorts of issues, and we're focused on all these extreme agendas, which is tearing down the fabric of our society. That we need to understand so we stop tearing ourselves down, which is ridiculous. So, anyways, these are the conversations that we're going to have today. It's absolutely fantastic. I had another conversation with Rudy Giuliani, which was he probably doesn't agree with Harley, but that was as hard as that was for me. That was difficult. It was important that those kind of discussions happen. And I wanted to get past some of I think there's some rhetoric there that happened at first, if you haven't seen that interview. But then we started getting to some of the meat of what we need to be discussing. And I talk about that with Harley too, is that that's what we need to do. We need to get past all this propaganda and rhetoric into the meat of what makes the United States strong or what our family strong or this whatever it is that we want to make strong, which is our communities. So, anyways, I hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we get into that, I want to talk to you about NuMatrix, which is a product that you put on your skin to trick it into thinking you have a sunburn. It's just a niacin flush, and you use niacin and it creates this flush. And then your body thinks it has a sunburn and it creates collagen. And it's less expensive. If you go to the spa and you get microneedling or you do some kind of treatment to get your collagen going, which is what reduces wrinkles, it makes your skin better. It costs like $300 every time you go there. Whereas you can get this little bottle and you can use it twice a day. Each time you use it, it's like going to the spa. So it is so much better. Use it twice a day and you will see a difference. It takes a while for collagen to build up in your skin. It takes like 4 to 6 weeks before you really start seeing benefits. But the people that I know who have tried it and I've been asking them, they really see a difference. It's not just me. People are seeing a difference. So try it. It's a lot less expensive than going to the spa. I have the link below, or you can go to sarahwestall.com under shop. Okay, let's get into my really interesting conversation with my friend Harley Schlanger. Hi, Harley. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Good to see you again.
We have a lot to talk about because there's a lot going on, and I want to tie it back to we've been talking since 2018 about the central bankers and the carbon credits and going around government budgets to do budgets for all the governments in the world. And then we have all these wars going on, and we have the BRICS. I want to try to bring all this together in some way, shape, and form because it is all coming together. But before we get into that, I want to talk about the biggest thing that I saw development that's reshaping the world is the UN ruling. There was a ruling that came out recently that to vote on whether Palestine should be a full member state of the UN. And it was voted on, and 12 voted yes, 2 abstained, and 1 voted no. And the only one that voted no was the United States. The 2 abstains probably would have, I mean, they just don't want to look political and it lost anyways, so it's better to abstain. But the US voted no and then vetoed it. And then after that, there was a big outcry by world leaders and other people that mentioned and said the United States is isolated. We're the isolated in the world. And it's starting to really look like that. Even if, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, these are major developments. So what does all that mean in a practical sense to the United States?
Well, this has been developing over the last 4 or 5 years. It actually started earlier. It started under Obama. And Obama always had this line that he took from Madeleine Albright, that we're the indispensable nation. And then, of course, this really goes back to Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, George Bush, the idea that the U.S. is the sole superpower after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Now, that implies that we won this Cold War because we're so good and we're such a good nation and we're good people and we have good policies. It's not true. What actually has happened is over the last 50 years, actually 70 years, going back to the Kennedy assassination, is the United States increasingly became the center of a global financial network, an empire, which used to be the British. And Kennedy was fighting against that. And I think that's ultimately, there are many specifics that Kennedy did that they didn't like. But I think the fact that he was unwilling to have the United States become the leading colonial power in the world was why he was killed. And since then, we've been in one colonial war after another. And now these guys are so smart, they have other people fight them for us, these proxy wars. But ultimately, what we're seeing with the changes in the world, Sarah, is that the old imperial system doesn't function if countries decide they want to be sovereign. And we're seeing this, the global South is rising up. Americans don't have a good picture of this because it's not covered in the US media. But there's a fundamental change underway. Putin has said it. He says it's unstoppable. Xi Jinping calls it the world moving toward a win-win situation. The foreign minister of South Africa, Pandor, told Blinken, stop coming and lecturing us about your ideas of morality and LGBTQ and so on. We have a different view. And I think one of the most outstanding examples of this is what happened to the French in what they called French West Africa, Mali, Burkina Faso, and now Niger. The French have been kicked out, booted out, told to go home. And these countries say, we want to use our resources to develop our own national wealth for our people. And who are they inviting in? Russia and China. And this is a funny thing, but a French general, a retired French general, told me that the reason Macron was talking about sending French troops to Ukraine is he doesn't want the French Foreign Legion inside France after they got kicked out of Africa because he's afraid they'll overthrow him. Now, that's the way the world is changing. And the US is isolated because we're standing for economic policies that harm other nations and increasingly harm our own people, harm the American people.
Well,
It would really be the best thing for the Americans to realize this and to change.
because it's really clear that there's a shift when you talk about the BRICS and all these countries are going towards it. The concern that is being aired or voiced is that China is rising up and they're a communist party and they're communists, and that that's against our whole way of life. And we don't want to be communists, although you see communism building in this country. And so we're worried that that's coming from a Chinese influence when it's not what we want to be as a people. So what is that threat, and is it real?
Well, anyone who studied communist revolutions, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Mao Zedong Revolution, and so on, wouldn't recognize the current government of China as communist. Communist countries don't have billionaires. Communist countries keep a working class poor and enslaved. In China, you have the largest middle class in the world right now. 800 million people lifted out of poverty. Now, it's not exactly the ideal system. I certainly wouldn't say that, but it's not an orthodox communist system. And what the Chinese are offering is what we used to offer when we had a good neighbor policy under Franklin Roosevelt or John Kennedy's policy toward our neighbors, which was we'll help you develop technology that will benefit you and us. That's what the Chinese have adopted. And what we've adopted is a policy of central bank control and so-called financialization, where we stop producing. We're shutting down our industry. We've got a green policy, which is crazy, which has the lowest levels of energy flux density, that is energy efficiency. So the costs are going through the roof. We have inflation. We have people making billions of dollars shuffling paper while producers get nothing. Small businessmen get put into bankruptcy. So when we start talking about China, I think the first thing is we have to look at what we're doing in our country. And it's not communism, it's corporatism. It's the control of government by private corporations for their own interests and their own benefit. That's the problem in the US. That was what Mussolini did. That's what Hitler did. That's what the British Empire and the trusts that supported Hitler in the 1920s and 30s did. Instead, the American system is where government works for the best interests of the people. And we don't have that anymore. We have a government that's completely controlled by these private corporate interests and corporate cartels. So when you look at China, China has a different policy. It's not ideal. I think the thing that I would say about it is that China is not an enemy of the United States. Our corporate cartels and our military industrial financial complex, that's the enemy of the United States. And until we recognize that, we're going to get pulled into one war after another until there's a nuclear war.
Well, okay, so I'm more of a the more I learn, the more libertarian I become because I don't want the government involved in my I just the government is so bad. It's like, oh my, everywhere I turn, they're doing something that's not good for the people. So it's hard not to become more libertarian the more you learn. But you're saying the Chinese, because to me, when I hear communism, I say, oh, God, that's even more government involvement. Why would I want more government involvement? You're saying that we already have maximum government control where the average person has no sovereignty and freedom because of the corporations involved with the government, compared to China, which is how is that different with the government controlling it? I mean, is it just two bad systems, or you're saying, yes, the government controls it, but they just tend to be a little bit more care about their people right now than us who are nobody cares about the people.
Well, let
You
me
know
give
what
you
I'm
an
saying?
example. Yeah, but let me give you an example for me personally. I live in Germany now. Germany in the post-war period, in the 50s and 60s, adopted economic policies modeled on those of the American system. And that's why Germany had an economic recovery. In that case, they had government regulation of banking and finance. In other words, no total central bank control,
That's
where a
right.
central bank works for the private banks. That's what we have. The Federal Reserve, we have a private banking cartel that controls credit and controls policy, taxation, and everything else. Germany had what's called the mixed economy. The purpose of the government was to make sure that private speculators don't take over the control of credit. That's why you have banking regulation. That's what Glass-Steagall was about. Now, the people who prey on the idea of libertarianism say, well, we got to get rid of government. Government is costing us in terms of controls over banking. Well, you need to have control over banking because if you don't, you have swindlers who will financialize everything. And that's what we've had in the last 30, 40 years. And that's why we've become an empire that loots the world.
So they've,
Now,
hold on one second. So they've
yeah.
weaponized the idea of libertarianism to
Yes.
allow the central bankers and these private industries to have complete monopolies and take away our rights.
And they do things like say, legitimately, we had too many regulations. For example, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, telling you what grade toilet paper you have to have in a factory bathroom. There are regulations that were out of control. Now we're seeing regulations out of control when it comes to green policy,
And
which has to
medical.
do,
I mean, I'm
that's
not
out
to
of
cut,
control.
but yeah, it's totally out of control, which we just lived
Yeah.
through with COVID, for example, is the government imposing all their BS on everybody
Yeah, exactly.
and big pharma and everything else.
But
Okay, keep going.
that's not communism. That's the private corporations like the big pharma.
In 2023, according to MIT Living Wage Calculator, folks in major cities needed around $68,499 just to make ends meet comfortably. But guess what happened next? In just 1 year, that number shot up a whopping 40% to $96,500. Can you believe how much inflation has affected us? That's the kind of inflation that keeps us up at night. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure can't afford to keep pace with that kind of skyrocketing cost of living. It's downright scary. But you know what's even scarier? Not doing anything about it. That's why I've been talking to folks over at Miles Franklin. They're all about helping regular people like you and me protect our hard-earned savings. With gold and silver, you can lock in the value of your money and shield yourself from the ups and downs of the economy. So if you are like me and want to keep your nest egg safe and sound, reach out to Miles Franklin at info@milesfranklin.com. Just mention my name, Sarah sent me, and they'll take care of you like family, because it's just how we do things here in Middle America. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your future today.
Look at how much control they had over health policy, including over what President Trump did. Now, I don't think Trump is a communist or a big government guy, but he went along with what Big Pharma ordered in the COVID period. Now we see, here's another example, Sarah. Most Americans don't know why we're fighting Russia in Ukraine. They don't want to be there. We just had a Congress overwhelmingly vote another $60 billion for a war in Ukraine, while we don't have money for rebuilding cities in the United States, for infrastructure, to protect the border, to build new hospitals. We have a collapse of education in the United States. So who's making these decisions? Not the American people. You end up voting for someone who you think is going to represent your interests. For example, Speaker Johnson. People thought that he would stand with Trump against the Ukraine war. And what did he do? He got hoodwinked. He got briefed by the intelligence community, and he said he trusted them. Well, Trump, after Helsinki meeting with Putin, was right. He couldn't trust his own intelligence community. Then one other example. How many Americans think it's right to have a government agency, the FISA court, issuing warrants for wiretaps, or actually warrantless wiretaps? Johnson said he was going to oppose that. The Congress was going to oppose it. And what happened? They passed it. So the same people who ran Russiagate, who used corrupt networks in the FBI to destroy the first Trump administration, came in through the Trump networks and got it done again. So the government is not acting in the interest of the people, but in the interest of these private, financial, and corporate cartels. Now, that's not democracy. That's not freedom. No. That's not American constitutional system.
Not at all. So
now,
okay.
In China, let me just finish with China. One of the things that there's all this talk about how China is going through a financial collapse. Well, they're going through a reorganization. And what are they doing? They're cracking down on speculators. They're putting the speculators who put people's savings into real estate boondoggles, they're putting those speculators in prison. In the United States, we threw people out of their houses and let the speculators take over their houses cheap and bailed them out with $27 trillion in 2008 to 2011, and another $20 trillion from 2019 to 2021. So we, the US government, benefited the swindlers, the speculators, at the expense of productive Americans. So, you know, this is where you have to look at the two systems and say, there's some things we could learn from China, because China learned from us. In particular, investing in new entrepreneurial practices in science and technology, writing off old infrastructure, old industry, and investing in new.
They are doing
that, and producing
new
wealth.
They are
doing
that.
We don't do that anymore.
They're doing that big time. But okay, so this is the concern, though, is with that structure, Not that our structure isn't completely broken right now, right? We've just defined that. We are not anything near what we think we want to be or what our constitution has formed. Now, looking at them, we get concerned, you know, when you see the censorship, for example, where they're just, I just got kicked off LinkedIn last week because they accused me of selling, and I don't sell anything, I advertise selling illegal products, but they won't even tell me what product is illegal or where I did it. Right? It's like so absurd. It's just so extremely unethical, right? So we have
Well,
these
and this,
bullies.
but Sarah, you know this because you are a fighter against the censorship. We have censorship in the United States that's off the charts. This is what Snowden was warning us about. This is what Bill Binney was warning us about. The big tech monopolies work as a cartel with the mainstream media to control information, to control a narrative. Now, how is that different from the old days with TASS and Pravda in the Soviet Union?
It's the same. Exactly.
It's
It's
exactly the same.
okay. And so
And you know,
what?
I talked to people who lived under the East German dictatorship who said there was more freedom back then than there is today, because back then at least you knew that one out of three people on your block was working for the Stasi, the secret police. Now you have no idea who is, and there are cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
So we have this idea, this 1950s idea of communism, and we are ignoring the fact that a nation that is so tightly controlled can't develop. And the Chinese are developing. And it may not be the kind of development that we would like, but when you have 1.2 billion people, you need to build, you need to grow, or else you end up collapsing. And in our country, we're destroying the cities. We're
Oh, it's
becoming
bad.
uninhabitable.
I just saw a video of just in the last 3 years how bad LA, Chicago, and New York is. I mean, they have just turned into shitholes. You know, it's really bad.
Yeah.
People got to go look at these videos. But okay, so now let's get back to the censorship. What we're concerned about, we're living in this Orwellian time, but we think of China being even worse. Like they're completely controlled. So now we get an idea of what it could be like. And when I think about China, I'm like, well, they're completely cut off and controlled. Is that true?
No, let me give you an example. Helga Zeplerush, who's the chairwoman of the Schiller Institute, which I'm on the board of the Schiller Institute, she's interviewed all the time in China. Not because she's saying everything's great in China, but because they want to know what's going on in the West. The Chinese media covers the opposition in the West as well as what the governments are doing. So you have, in a sense, a broader picture of reality than you get in the US media.
But can they
And
challenge their own government there without being shut down? I mean, we can't challenge our
people.
government here without being shut down. Can they do it there?
Well, it more so today than ever before. And I'll tell you where the real change is. In Russia, you know, in spite of all this nonsense about Navalny and Putin killing off all his rivals, Russia has a very free press right now. And you know, there are certain limitations. If they find out someone is paid by the CIA or paid by Ukraine to put in disinformation, they'll move against it. But the Russian press and the Russian democracy, so to speak, is much more vibrant than we have. And you know, there are people in Russia who can say what they want about the West, but if they then, like Navalny, are going to the British. Navalny's top fundraiser asked the British embassy on video. There's a video of this, asked them for $12 million to fund their operations. And that's why the Russians decided to shut the operation down, because it was funded by foreign intelligence. Now, what I'm saying is that this question of freedom of expression, free speech. You know, Lyndon LaRouche was put in prison for 5 years because he was exposing the corruption of Kissinger and Brzezinski, and they're working to build the terrorist movements of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, which became the enemy of the United States 10 years after LaRouche warned about it. Instead, they put LaRouche in prison. So, and we see, you know, whatever people think of Donald Trump, these attacks on him on legal matters are designed to silence him.
That's
If he's
right.
such a threat, let him speak out. The American people probably wouldn't be hoodwinked if he's really about to end our democracy. But I think they're afraid that some of the things he's saying actually are breaking through the censorship, and that's why they have him on these four different court cases.
Well, the concern I have is, I mean, we need to have open dialogue. We need to hear their side too. But the
That's true.
concern, we do, we need to have debates and we need to hear their, we need to understand their side so that we can make better decisions. But what's happening is they're not really explaining their side. They have these propaganda statements which don't explain their side, and then they cram that narrative, and then the rest of us are like, well, everything you're saying doesn't make sense, because, and then you're forcing and silencing us. What we need to do is understand your, get rid of the propaganda and all that, the BS to try to sell it. Tell us what's really going on so that we can see what makes the most sense. I think some of the stuff that they're saying might have some more legitimate backing if they'd actually open up and talk about it. Instead, they're just cramming propaganda and silencing everybody. And so it's backfiring, it looks like, because the so while the internet, it's a double-edged sword for these guys. Where they're using it to totally control us, they can't co totally control us. It's why they want to take down TikTok, because it's too much is getting out. It's like Gaza. We're seeing, I was talking to my agent and some other people, and I was talking to them about how Gaza is almost like in Vietnam, where, remember that image of the little girl that was running who was burned, her clothes are burned
Dave
off? It was,
Hunt, yeah.
yeah. And I actually met that photographer just like 10 years ago. It was kind of interesting. But that changed the mood of the country, because people started seeing what was happening on the ground, and we didn't want the killing. Now with Gaza, it's like 24, I mean, we have so much, that's on steroids. It's a fire hose of what we're seeing. And so
But
the
and then but then
people,
Sarah, but
yeah.
look what happens. The narrative is that all of this is justified. All the killing in Gaza is justified by what happened on October 7th, as though the October 7th actions were completely unprovoked and
But see, that's, people aren't
can't
gonna
be.
go ahead. Yeah, people don't buy
Well,
that because of, we're
that
funding
and that's
Hamas. Go ahead. I don't want to
that's
cut
the
you off.
problem they have. As you know, Netanyahu funded Hamas. He gave over $1 billion to Hamas. The Netanyahu government, were they caught off guard, or did they let the raids happen for Netanyahu's personal purposes? There are a lot of questions like that, but let's take another example, because I think this gets at the question of where narrative is defeated by reality. The Ukraine situation, the idea that it all started February 24th, 2022. Well, there's actually a much longer history, maybe not as long as Putin presented to Tucker Carlson going back to the 8th century, but there certainly is a longer narrative where Russia has been treated unfairly and lied to repeatedly by Western governments, including James Baker promising no eastward expansion of NATO, including discussion of maybe Russia could join NATO, including being told that shock therapy economic policies would be good for Russia when it nearly destroyed the country and led to a demographic collapse, including the whole narrative around Ukraine, the fact that the US ran a coup in 2014, Victoria Nuland, George Soros, Biden was the overseer for the Obama administration for that. And the coup included neo-Nazis who became part of the military in Ukraine that was killing Ukrainian citizens of Russian descent in eastern Ukraine. And then you had the Minsk Accord, and supposedly the French and the Germans were going to make sure this was carried out to allow for regional autonomy and end to the killing. And then they tell us later, Merkel and Hollande, they said, well, we never meant to have this accord work. We wanted to buy time to build up Ukraine to fight Russia. So if you look at all that, if people know that history, and we got some of that through the Tucker Carlson interview, you get a different view of Putin and what Russia's doing. So then why is it Oh, and then one other point. Weren't we told that if we give them enough weapons, Ukraine will win, Russia will collapse, the sanctions will destroy Russia, and on and on and on. Lie after lie after lie. And a handful of people like Douglas MacGregor and Scott Ritter and a few others, even Jeffrey Sachs, are telling the truth about this. But they're not allowed in mainstream media. So if the American people knew the actual story of Ukraine, just as if they knew the actual story of what the Israelis have done to the Palestinians, it would be a different world. Then we could have what you're talking about, an actual debate and dialogue, so that our policy would reflect reality.
Well, but
And that's the
we need
problem.
that. We need to know what is our
Absolutely.
strategic, like I had Rudy Giuliani on, and once we got past the heated discussion, and he had, that he needed to come off of protests, so he came and he was heated. Once we got past that, and we got to some of the what is the real strategic need here, and let's get past all this bogus propaganda stuff and talk about what it is that we really are looking at. And that those level of discussions, it's almost like the American people, and maybe this is the case, I don't know, American people aren't smart enough to understand where we are and what we need to do strategically, so we're just going to feed them propaganda and deal with stuff that doesn't make sense to people like me and you.
But
And
let's
but
give
we
them the
need to get
option.
past, yeah, we need to get past that so we can actually talk about why are we doing these things? Because it doesn't make sense. And what you have is you have people like us fighting against them. We're fighting each other when in reality, maybe we could be more strategic and look at some of this stuff and see what is better for the United States and actually and better for the world. I don't like war. I don't want people to, that's what I was trying to get at with the Gaza situation. No matter what side you fall on, it's very much like the Vietnam stuff when we're seeing killing going on steroids.
Yeah.
The people are seeing this and they're horrified. No matter what you believe, you don't have to be pro-Palestinian. You don't have to be anything. You just don't like this. And that's
But
what
you
the
see,
pushback
Sarah,
is.
we're treated to discussions of policy as though it's a sport, as though it's entertainment. Who's up? Who's winning? Did Iran win or Israel? It's a fraudulent approach. Because there are real issues that Americans should be weighing in on. Let me give you what I think are the big issues here that everyone's missing. Why is it that Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary from Raytheon, and the Biden administration say that we have to weaken Russia? What is Russia doing that's so bad? The reality is that Russia, because of how they've been treated, is linking up with other countries, including China, including India, including Brazil, South Africa, now the Saudis, the United Arab Emirates, and others, to move away from the dollar system. Because they're saying the dollar system serves the interests of these private corporate cartels and not our countries, meaning their countries, but increasingly not our country either, not the United States. So they moved to set up something called the BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa alliance, which is not anti-American, it's anti-corporate cartel. It's against the control of finance and trade by the City of London and Wall Street. Now, what are the City in London and Wall Street, what are they using to try and push their policies? The ideology of the green agenda. They're saying African countries shouldn't burn coal, shouldn't use oil. We shouldn't burn coal or oil. We should go back to primitive energy policies that wouldn't sustain life on the planet. The Russians, the Chinese, and others are saying we want to have a right to make our own sovereign decisions. And so the fundamental issue is, do we believe in a world of sovereign nations and international law? Now, Blinken runs around the planet talking about the rules-based order. The rules-based order, if you follow what Blinken is actually doing, many of the things he proposes are violation of international law, but they're what's good for the corporate cartels. That's what we should be debating. Now, you look at the Gaza-Israel situation. This is a perfect case of how you manipulate people to choose sides. But there's a bigger picture here. There's a potential for the nations in that region to serve as a bridge, a transport and economic corridor bridge between Asia Europe, and Africa. This is what the imperial powers have always feared, that between the oil, the access to the seas, the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf, and so on, that if that goes out of control of the Western powers, then it will cause a severe crisis. So therefore, better to have wars going on than to have those countries get together.
Well,
So what
that's the
just happened
real issue,
recently?
right? I mean, that's the real issue.
Exactly.
And then I want to tie it back
Exactly.
to, you got to get your point in here. I want to tie it back to the globalist plan for the central. We got to get back to that and how that really is the art, the what's
Well, and
happening
let me
behind the
just finish
scenes.
one point
Yeah.
on this then, and I'll do it. The Chinese did something extremely interesting. They got Iran and Saudi Arabia to stop fighting. They got Iran and Saudi Arabia, the Shiites versus the Sunnis, to agree that the interests for both of them should be to rebuild Iraq, rebuild Syria, stop these wars. And what were they doing? How are they moving to do that? Accepting the yuan, the Chinese currency, for payment on oil. That just blew the stack of the Wall Street crowd. You can't do that. It's our dollar that you have to bow down to.
Petrodollar is
Now,
under attack, yes.
exactly. And that's something that's good because a handful of bankers in London and Wall Street shouldn't have control over the world. So, as I mentioned earlier, the French West African countries are kicking out the colonizers. The South Africans took the Israelis to the International Court of Justice, which took a lot of courage for them to do that. So there's a lot that's happening around the BRICS and around the potential for a new currency, for economic development for these countries, which have never had that opportunity in the last 400 or 500 years. Now that brings us back to what is in the interests of the United States. We should be working with these countries. We should take what we do have still as a capability, a tech sector, a scientific sector, the ability to mobilize industrial production, not for the military and war, but for the good of the world. I just want to read you a quote. I just saw this today. The head of the Aerospace Industry Association, the president is Eric Fanning. And he was talking about the vote in the Congress, and he said, "We just got a much needed injection of funding that will safeguard America's future by replenishing U.S. stocks and increasing production capacity here at home. We look forward to this bipartisanship continuing through fiscal year 2025 and beyond." In other words, the military industrial complex is saying, "Give us more, give us more." And where does that, unless you work at a Lockheed or Martin Marietta, where does that leave you? That means we're stuck in a paradigm of war and opposing sovereign nations' development. So this is the discussion people should have. But if you don't know about the BRICS, you get scared the idea, well, Chinese communists and probably
That's
Putin's
right.
a communist and African nationalists are going to take over. Meanwhile, who is taking over? The transgender agenda, the green agenda. We've ceded our sovereignty to a bunch of crackpots
Well,
and
I think
actually
that's
quite
part of
evil
the
people.
chaos too, though. That's part of the fifth generation warfare. I don't know where that's coming from because that doesn't seem natural to me. Because I don't even, that's such an extreme element. But I want to get back. I just
But
can't
Sarah, just
believe that is
that's
natural. Go ahead.
identity politics. As we see it in the United States, comes from the original idea of geopolitics. You divide people in the
That's
most
right.
narrow groups, so you don't have a national mission. What made America a powerful nation was when we had presidents who had a vision and statesmen, a vision of a national mission. That's what Putin has given Russia. Whether it's good or bad, that's what Xi Jinping has given to China, that's what Modi is giving to India. This idea that we have a purpose together. And instead, if you break it apart, it's very easy to manipulate people to accept things which actually go against their own interests.
Okay, so now that's the crux of this. Why are we purposely losing? Why are we purposely not paying attention to what's in our best interest? It seems that we have central bankers that want to destroy us. This is why people think that China and Russia or China is behind it, because why are we doing this to ourselves? How stupid can we be? And then we have the central bankers up there saying that they want to go around governments to do their own budgets. They want to do these carbon credits. They want to take over the world with their philosophy and their thing. Meanwhile, they're breaking down the United States, and then they're also fighting China. That's why people are not trusting any of this stuff, because it looks like there's somebody else like China involved or blackmailing to take down our country. We have to take responsibility for taking down our own country. That's number one.
Absolutely, but
But it does seem like there's something else going on, because how stupid can we be to not talk about what our strategic interests are, to allow ourselves to be divided on the dumbest kind of LGBT transgender stuff? It's like, how that affects, how little does it affect? And the people who it does affect are being harmed, other than the maybe a small percentage you can argue, very, very, very small per percentage you can argue maybe benefit from it. Everybody else is being harmed. So we're implementing this BS agenda. What the heck is going on? How can we be this stupid without somebody else, an outside force? That's why everybody says there's an outside force taking us down, because we're too stupid. What is going on there?
Well, suppose Biden ran for re-election saying, we're going to give up our sovereignty. We have no loyalty to the United States. We have loyalty only to an international corporate elite. And we corporate elite are going to run the world, and you're going to like it. Well, isn't that what
That's
Klaus
what's going
Schwab said?
on.
Isn't
That's exactly what's
that's what
going
they're
on. Yeah.
okay. That's what's going on. Do they say that? Well, in their meetings, they do. Schwab has said that. The Jackson Hole, Wyoming Federal Reserve retreat every
That's
year, they
right.
say that. They say, we're going to have the Great Reset. People aren't going to like it, but we have to take power away from elected governments. That 3 years ago, we were at the Jackson Hole, Wyoming meeting, and that's exactly what was laid out by Mark Carney, who at the
That's
time
right.
was the head of the Bank of England. He then became the UN climate czar. And what's the policy? The policy is we have to act for these private interests. It's almost like the idea of a trickle down. Don't worry, if we succeed, you'll get a little something. You'll be happy, as Schwab says, but you won't have any control. I mean, it's so blatant. I'll just give you an example. I have a friend who's moved to Hungary recently because he can't stand Germany anymore. And after the last election in Hungary, where Orban got almost 60% of the vote, the European Union said, we're going to cut off money to Hungary because they're not democratic. What are you talking about? The people just voted for Orban. There were other choices. The people voted for him. Who gives the European Union bureaucrats the right to say what's a legitimate election and what's not? And the European Parliament is basically run by non-elected people like Ursula von der Leyen, Robert Michel, and others. What do we have in the United States? Well, I guess I can say that the people certainly suspect there are rigged elections. If you don't play the game properly, you get thrown out. Look what they did to Bernie Sanders in 2016, what they did to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to keep him out of the primaries. It's a rigging. But here's the bigger picture. The people who are doing this know what they're doing. They are doing this for the purposes of the benefit of the private cartels, whether it's banking, whether it's real estate, whether it's grain control, raw materials, and so on. That's what they're operating on. Now, they know that people don't like that. If people were told, you're going to have a miserable life so we can be rich and powerful, people wouldn't like it. They create a culture of dumbing down education, of gaming, of celebrity gawking, of sports, so that they give people something that they think is theirs. LaRouche used to joke that the idea of local control is you control your own garbage cans. What about government? What say do we have in how government functions? If you don't like spending $60 billion to get a lot of Ukrainians killed, what can you do about it? Well, Aaron Bushnell burned himself to death in protest, and for a couple of days, people paid attention. But now we've got another 60 billion going. We're 26 billion going to Israel. Biden keeps saying you have to be more humanitarian in going after Hamas. Well, then why do we give them 2,000-pound bombs? How is that targeted military capability? It's a fraud. It's a lie. But most people don't think of themselves as knowing what is real and what is the truth. And so they're willing to grab on to something like, well, I don't like this guy, or I don't like the way this person talks. This is not my team. And we
it's
get
the
manipulated
team.
And divided.
Yeah. It's the team thing. But let's talk a little bit more about this global centralized banker thing and why they want to tear down the United States. Or they want it, are they looking to tear down all the Western countries so that they can control the whole Western bloc to fight this Eastern bloc? Because in order, they don't want the BRICS to grow. They don't want this. Or, I mean, that's how I'm starting to see it, is I'm starting to see they're trying to, but a lot of the Western countries are peeling off too. So,
well, they already control most of the governments of the West, but most of those governments are highly unpopular. Look at Biden's popularity ratings. Look here in Germany. Chancellor Scholz is now down to 14% support. The Greens, who control the two most important positions, the foreign ministry and the finance minister, they're at 12%. The third coalition partner is barely at the threshold to stay in the parliament, 4.8%. So you add them all up and it's less than one third of Germans support the current coalition government. But no one will kick them out because they're afraid of what the US would do. Macron is highly unpopular. Maloney in Italy is unpopular. Sunak, you know, Sunak could give everyone £1 million and they'd still spit on him. So, you know, you've got governments that are highly unpopular, but people have been conditioned to believe there's nothing you can do about it. And they don't see that behind this, there is a plan, a strategy. It's to make them weak so they won't fight against this centralization of power around the cartels. Now, here's where you see the importance of the BRICS. The BRICS are basically saying, we're going to fight for the sovereignty of nations. And the problem they have is they don't have the overall financial, monetary, industrial, economic power that the West has, although they're now beginning to surpass the West in certain areas. One they're not surpassing the West in is military. And that's why NATO and the United States deployed to destroy Iraq, deployed into Afghanistan, into Libya, into Yugoslavia, into Ukraine. All these wars are to say to countries that want to break with this globalist system, if you do, we'll make a horrible example out of you, which is what Madeleine Albright said, which is what Blinken is saying. So now we see countries standing up and fighting. But in the United States, we're told they're fighting against us. They don't like our way of life. Well, why do so many of them try to come to the United States? They want our way of life in their country, and we're not letting them, and we're taking it away from our own people. So this is the paradox we have to solve. Who can people trust? And you have to start by trusting yourself, and that means you have to develop your own strategic sense, your own scientific sense of reality. But, you know, Sarah, this is why the censorship is so omnipresent, because they don't want people to hear what you're saying. You're too rational. They don't want to hear what I'm saying. They didn't want to hear what Lyndon LaRouche was saying.
Well, I
so
would
we
like
have to find the cracks.
Yeah, well, I would like to get it back to the get rid of these extremes, get it down to truth and yeah, rational thought and dialogue, and get rid of these extremes and start really thinking hard and deep about how to make us better and stronger, instead of we're just being, you know, yo-yoed back and forth with all this extreme stuff while we're ignoring the meat of what we need in this country and, you know, all the countries, especially the West, on how to be stronger and united. It's, we're taking ourselves down, but it's,
we are.
But they're doing it. This is where I think they're ill-conceived. They're doing it to try to be stronger. They think they can take us down. These globalist central banker people think they can make us stronger by taking us down and then centralizing us. Meanwhile, this whole other part of the country is taking over. That's why people think that behind the scenes, these guys are really working with these guys because it's too stupid. And I so
No,
I
but
go
they're
ahead.
not. That's
I
why
hear
we're
both.
fighting.
Yeah.
That's why we're fighting in Ukraine against Russia to weaken Russia. That's why they're talking about
That's right.
launching strikes on against China over Taiwan. But when
But
you
that's
look
the
at this,
confusion, is what I'm trying to say, is people are confused because they don't understand the behavior. But go ahead.
but people could figure that out. Why is Russia considered an enemy? What is Russia doing to the United States? Russia was with us in Afghanistan. Russia was with us. Remember on 9/11, who was the first president who called Bush and said, if there's anything I can do, let me know? It was Putin. Who was it that fought against ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria and in Iraq? It was the Russians. It was the Iranians. So why are they our enemies? We talk about terrorism as the great threat. Imbeciles like Pompeo, who's one of the worst war hawks out there, says Iran is the center of global terror. Well, who was it that fought ISIS and Al-Qaeda when the United States was arming and training them to overthrow the Syrian government? It was Iran. So you see, this is where the truth doesn't get through. But you made a very important point earlier, Sarah. Because of social media, we're beginning to see the narrative crack. Everything that we've been told about Ukraine has been proven to be false. What people don't know yet is that Ukraine is not a democracy, that Zelensky shut down all opposition parties. As far as Palestine and Gaza, what we see is that killing children, how does killing 20,000 children hurt Hamas? You want to get Hamas, figure out another strategy. But going in and leveling cities, destroying hospitals, digging mass graves at the hospitals, what does that do? That's actually isolating Israel and anyone else who supports them. And as you pointed out, it's the US that supported Israel at the United Nations. We give them political cover as well as money. So these kinds of discussions have to be had. And the fact that the story is beginning to get out through social media, and again, it's not a question of who should we cheer for. It's a question of how can we give security to both the Israeli people and to the Palestinians. And
That's
you
right.
can't do it by killing, but you could do it by having cooperative economic policies, which is what Yitzhak Rabin tried to do initially with the Oslo process. Come up with a plan where the Israelis could help develop the Palestinian economy to create an incentive to both parties. An incentive to have peace that's more important than 75 years of acrimony.
So I
And this is
think.
why, well, this is why the BRICS represent something that's a game changer. And that's why Iran and Saudi Arabia started working together. That's the potential to end these regional conflicts and get countries working together for their own interests. This used to be known as the Peace of Westphalia, going back to the end of the 30 Years' War in 1648. And what did it say? It basically said, do unto your neighbor as you would have them do unto you. Recognize other people's sovereignty and other people's rights, and then find common ground to work with them. That's the golden rule of Christianity. Why don't we have that approach instead of saying, we don't like what you're saying and doing, so we're going to go to war with you?
Well, and
And
I think
that's
we're
where the
evolving
discussion has to
too.
start.
I've had people say, well, we wouldn't, back in the day, we'd have people with the Civil War, people, death and destruction was just part of how the world works. And it's like, well, I think it's time for us to evolve and not just be animals, right? The animal, can't we be beyond that? But I think the world is changing. That's what we're seeing is the dynamics of the world with social media and the fact that we're all communicating with people around the world more. The old ways of doing things isn't going to work anymore, and we
Well,
have
and
to be smarter and better.
look
Go
at the
ahead.
underlying ideology of the people who want a global cartel running policy. It's they think there are too many people. They don't see people, human beings, having inherent value. So they're for depopulation. In that sense, that's why I've always said we're dealing with a satanic problem. People who see themselves as inherently better, whether it's the eugenics of the Nazis or the green environmentalism today, which says there are too many people and we should start
Does China want to
letting them
depopulate
die.
us? I don't mean to cut you off, but you're absolutely right. I covered this a lot in our show. Would China leave us alone and say they don't want to depopulate us if they end up gaining power? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Our own
well,
people, our own powerful people who could want to take out most of us. So it's happening internally. But if these other groups rise in power, do they want to destroy us too? I mean, does everybody want to
that's
take
this
us
good, but
out? You know?
Sarah,
You know where I'm asking.
this is where you have to understand history. The Chinese don't have an imperial tradition. The imperial tradition largely is an invention in the modern period of the British Empire. You talked about the idea of everyone fighting each other. That's Thomas Hobbes. That's John Locke. Your private interest is what you have to fight for, like a law of the jungle. The world is a battle for survival of each against all. That's British ideology. That's the ideology of the banking class. And you know that there's no loyalty among thieves. They'll cut each other's throats to get to the top. So it doesn't worry them at all if they have to cut the throats of billions of people. But those of us who actually see, look at every child as a potentially precious resource for human history, and the wish to nurture that child and give that child an opportunity to make discoveries in science, discoveries in culture, to recognize the validity of other people and empathy and love of other people. Isn't that what the Christian ideal is? Isn't that supposedly Judaism and Islam also? That you have this recognition that we all have we're all mortal, but we all have a mission to live a good life for the benefit of others. Now, that's where we have to fight this ideology, which says Palestinians are beasts, Israelis are just genocidal maniacs. You know, the Russians are horrible. The Chinese are horrible. Try to
The
understand other
Americans are
cultures.
horrible. I mean, we're getting it
Well,
from all
right now,
sides. Yeah.
that's how the world is seeing us. And you get an absolutely immoral person like Blinken going around the world lecturing them that South Africa is no good because they don't allow transgender rights, that China is no good because of Xinjiang province, when in fact, Muslim leaders around the world have been in Xinjiang province and say that's a load of crap. There's not concentration camps there. They're not killing off the Muslims. The Muslim population in Xinjiang province is growing. So where's this idea that the Chinese are committing genocide coming from? It comes from Western media. I have friends who are in Xinjiang province and they saw a flourishing. It's the people who live there say we've never had it so good. So, but we're the ones who are cut off. We're the ones who are isolated. We're the ones who are bombarded with propaganda. And
Well,
so,
that it scares us though. It scares us because that propaganda, we don't know what's true, right? We're hearing all sides of this. And from my
but we can
perspective,
find out now
we
more
got
than
to get to
ever.
the truth. Yes.
We can find out more than ever because of the social media potential. If it's not social media, which is gaming and the gossip and things like that, but actually an opportunity to see how the rest of the world is living. You know, one of the things I'll tell you that's interesting is that in Germany, people who have a little bit of money are now traveling to China. They're traveling to Indonesia, to Thailand, to Africa. And people who went there with certain preconceived notions are coming back and talking to my kids and talking about how it was really interesting to see how they're living in these other countries. And it's not what they thought. Well, that's because they're propagandized that the rest of the world is a bunch of savages trying to steal the bounty of Europe and Western civilization. So I think what you're saying, I completely agree. If people will allow their eyes to be open to the fact that there is something beyond the narrative. And it doesn't mean that everything I'm saying is true, but I've had experience now for 50 years where I've been to other countries. I've met with leaders of other countries. I've met with left and right, and I've learned that the left and right is an arbitrary distinction that's used to manipulate us. And the real difference is a love of humanity versus a love of money, a love of
Well,
pain.
and we got, and a love of religion to the point where it blinds you to, because religion is used to kill off anybody that even differentiates,
Exactly.
you people, the Protestants fight against the Catholics and or the Muslim, two branches of Muslims. That's their
What was
biggest
the 30 Years'
enemy is.
War about?
Yeah, it's crazy. But we got to get past this. Like I said before, we got to get past this animalistic, even the animals are more evolved than us. But I mean, this animalistic primal, they don't go off and just kill everybody. We just have to we have
Well,
to
some of them do,
grow.
but those are the ones that are the models for the oligarchs.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, it's how deprived are we? So we need to evolve. My gosh. But thank you so much, Harley, for joining me. This is a wonderful discussion. Where can people follow you?
Well, I put out a daily update 5 days a week, which goes through these kinds of what's going on, what's the latest developments from this historical philosophical perspective. That's what I try to do. And it's 10 to 12 minutes, and you can find it at thelaroucheorganization.com. I've been pretty much kicked off Facebook and YouTube. You can find it on Rumble, you can find it on BitChute, you can find it a few other places, but the best place to go is my own website, which is larucheorganization.com. And then when you get there, you click on where it says programs, and the first thing that pops up is Harley's daily updates. And if people want to talk to me, want to communicate with me, let me give them my personal email address. And I get a lot of your viewers, Sarah, are in touch with me. It's Harley SCH. It's HARLEYSCH at gmail.com. And if you can't find my web page or anything else, send me an email and I'll send you the link.
Thank you so much, Harley. I always appreciate it.
Was good seeing you again, Sarah. Let's not wait so long next time.
Absolutely.